Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, entitled Yamaraj Instructs His Messengers, and we're on text, was it 10?
Tam stevitum itchamo yadina manya sekshamam narayanetya bhihite ma bhair ityaya yur drutam.
Tams, about them,
te,
from you,
veditum,
to know. It's chama. We wish.
Yadi.
If.
Na.
For us.
Manyase.
You think.
Kshamam.
Suitable.
Narayana.
Narayan.
Iti.
Thus.
Abhihite.
Being uttered.
Ma,
do not.
Bai,
fear.
Iti,
thus.
Ayu,
ayayu, they arrived.
Drutam,
very soon. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As soon as the sinful Ajamil uttered the name Narayan, these four beautiful men immediately arrived and reassured him, saying, "Do not fear, do not fear. We wish to know about them from your lordship. If you think we are able to understand them, kindly describe who they are." Please repeat. As soon as the sinful Ajamil uttered the name Narayan, these four beautiful men immediately arrived and reassured him, saying, "Do not fear,
do not fear.
We wish to know about them from your lordship. If you think we are able to understand them, kindly describe who they are." Report by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The order carriers of Yamaraj, being very much aggrieved because of their defeat by the four Vishnu Dutas, wanted to bring them before Yamaraj and, if possible, punish them. Otherwise, they desired to commit suicide. Before pursuing either course, however, they wanted to know about the Vishnu Dutas from Yamaraj, who is also omniscient. So, here we are again with the story of the Yamadutas, the messengers of Yamaraj, who is one of the 12 Mahajans described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Yamaraj, he is, among other things, he's known as the Lord of Death. And here in the end of the purport, Prabhupada is explaining that that Yamaraj is apparently omniscient. Omniscient comes along with omnipresent and omnipotent. So Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full in six opulences, is the most omniscient. There is a difference between omniscient and most omniscient. Krishna Das Kaviraj explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that there is completeness in Krishna consciousness, or he uses the word full, purnam. Purnam, and then after full, or purnam, there is more full, and after more full, there is most full. So we can understand here that the reference to Yamaraj being omniscient comes in the first category of all-knowing, whereas Krishna is not just all-knowing all-knowing or more all-knowing, but Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most all-knowing. So Yamaraj, he's a very powerful person, working in the management of the cosmic manifestation under the Supreme Lord Krishna, and he has a service that Krishna has asked him to perform. Just as the Yamadutas, they have their service to him, as he asks, is asking them to perform, which is to capture and punish the sinful living entities. Of course, there's different persons also. Durga, who's coming from the root, Mool Prakriti. All the female expansions are coming from Srimati Radharani. And so all the different avatars in general, they're all coming from the Supreme Personality Godhead. And there's six types of avatars: Purusha avatars, Leva avatars, etc. And so here, the Vishnu Dutas, they're interrupting the dirty work of the Yamadutas, and Ajamil, he's just about to be ripped out of his body with ropes and chains by the Yamadutas because of his sinful life. Everyone knows that Ajamil, he was born as a Brahmin in a Brahmin family, and in his youth he became distracted and fell down to a sinful lifestyle of stealing and killing and sense gratification. So he had so many children, and the last child he conceived at the age of 80 years old. And we apparently there was one modern case of a person who was about, I think he was like 100 and something years old in Vrindavan. But anyhow, so because of the living entity's unrestricted desire for sense gratification, their desires may or may not be fulfilled. But in the case of Ajamil, although he was sinful, at the end of his life, his youngest child, who he had named Narayan, which is the name of Vishnu, saved him from going down to the hellish worlds. And he was chanting the name of his son, not chanting the name of God consciously. He was very much attached to his son. So even though he was referring to his young son, nonetheless, the Supreme Lord Vishnu, he granted him liberation from the clutches of Yamaraj, and specifically from his underlings, the Yamadutas. So the Vishnudutas are telling Ajamil to not worry, to not fear, just like Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 66. Sarva dharmam parityagya mamekam sharanam braja. How's it go? Ham tam sarva papebhyo mam shanti mukshi shami ma suchaha ma suchaha. So in today's verse, the Sanskrit wording is ma bhair. Bhair comes from, we know, bhaya. The founder acharya of our society, ISKCON society, was named Abhaya Charanaravindam. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So the living entities in this material world, they're in ignorance, and so because of that ignorance, they're affected by fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of disease, fear of death, fear of pain, fear of being cheated. So this is the society of the cheaters and the cheated. So, of course, it's always better to be cheated by devotees than to be cheated by non-devotees. And also, it's better to get sick in Vrindavan than to get sick anywhere else in the world. But as I mentioned yesterday, Srila Rupa Goswami says that if one has never been to Vrindavan, but he simply thinks and meditates that one day he will go to Vrindavan, then Rupa Goswami says that he will be born in Vrindavan in his next life. So we have to condense today's class because it's the disappearance day of Surab Damodar and Shivananda Sen and we mentioned a little bit yesterday about Shivananda Sen, and also today is Rath Yatra Day. Joy Jagannath! Jai Jagannath! Jai Jagannath! So, for those who may not know, But the sadhu's unanimously say that the highest God is Jagannath. He's the esoteric aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Swarup Damodar is very. Unless there's any questions, we can continue with the Swarup Damodar. So Swarup Damodar, he's one of Lord Chaitanya's very, very close associates. They knew each other before Lord Chaitanya even took sannyas. So Swarup Damodar, his name used to be Purushottam Acharya, or also Swarup, and he knew exactly the heart of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, glorifying him as the storehouse of all devotional mellows. Lord Chaitanya added the word Damodar to his name. So Swarup Damodar revealed to the world the innermost emotions of Sri Chaitanya's mood of Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna. Sensing Lord Gauranga's moods, Swarup Damodar would perform kirtan to enhance the Lord's internal sentiments, to soothe Lord Chaitanya's love pangs in viraha bhav. He would sing songs from Gita Govinda, Krishna Karnamrita, and the love poems of Chandidas and Vidyapati. Throughout the day and night, Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy stayed near Sri Chaitanya in order to nourish his pastimes. He is one of the three and one half most intimate devotees of Lord Chaitanya, which are Ramananda Roy, Sikhi Mahiti, and Madhavi Devi. Just as Lalita and Vishakha are Radharani's dearest gopis, Swarup Damodar is Vishakha Sakhi in Krishna Lila, and Ramananda Roy is Lalita Sakhi, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most confidential associates. Swarup Damodar was the guardian of the Gaudiya devotees. So whenever a devotee misbehaved, Lord Gaurasundar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, would say, "Swarup, your Gaudiya did such and such." Swarup Damodar would personally check for grammatical or philosophical flaws in any newly written verse, song, or book before giving it to Lord Chaitanya for approval. Krishnadas Kaviraj used Swarup Damodar's Karcha memoirs of Sri Chaitanya's life to compile the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Swarup Damodar Goswami also wrote Sangita Damodar, a book of music. His samadhi is in the 64 samadhi area in Vrindavan. That's near the Govindaji temple, and also near the South Indian temple, Ranganath temple in Vrindavan. Or if you're there and you have to ask somebody on the street, then you can ask for the Gandhi Park. So as we mentioned yesterday about Shivananda Sen, Shivananda Sen, because every year, 1 month before Chaturmasya, Shivananda Sen would lead a party of 200 devotees from Bengal to Jagannath Puri to attend the annual Rath Yatra festival. He would pay for everyone's food, tolls, ferries, and room and lodgings, and he personally arranged for their comfort. Shivananda Sen showed Vaishnava compassion for all living entities, be they man or beast. When a stray dog joined the party, Shivananda Sen fed the dog and even paid for his boat fare. When the dog disappeared one day, Shivananda sent 200 men to search for him. Upon arriving in Puri, they saw Lord Chaitanya throwing coconut pulp to the dog. The dog became purified of all material contamination by eating the Mahaprasad remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not seeing the dog the next day, Shivananda Sen understood that the dog had attained liberation by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Observing Chaturmasya in Puri, Shivananda and the devotees would regularly bathe in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's blissful association. Shivananda used all his possessions in the service of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. His entire family and servants were ardent followers of Lord Gauranga. Kavi Karnapura, the son of Shivananda Sen, says in the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika, that's one of the scriptures left by our teachers. Shivananda Sen is the embodiment of love of Sri Chaitanya Deva, and in Krishna Lila he is Vira Gopi. Shivananda Sen is Vira Gopi, Srimati Radharani's messenger. So in the spiritual worlds, according to Aindra Prabhu, there is no book distribution, but there is passing of messages. In one bhajan, Devaki Nandana Das glorifies Shivananda Sen. I bow down to Shivananda Sen, who is full of divine love. His caste, life, and wealth are the two lotus feet of Sri Gaura Roy. His samadhi is also in the 64 samadhis area in Vrindavan. Okay, so, like I said before, today is the official day of Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri, and so is it today? It's today, right? Yeah. Okay. So there's 15 minutes until 9 o'clock, and everyone has to go on their on their padyatra to the country. Where is it? And then you're coming back again tonight. Wow. And then you're going on padyatra again. Day after tomorrow. Oh, okay, but after 5 o'clock, when you come back, you're not going out again to. You do?
Yes, but not with
now. And this morning you're going?
No. This morning we go to some lake.
Okay, different. Okay. So it's a full day. So, are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Taking birth close to the place of worship or actual Vrindavan?
Taking birth close to the to what?
To place of worship of Krishna.
No, Vrindavan. Vrindavan. Greater Vrindavan. Any place in Vrindavan. Well, yeah, that's a good point, actually. Because like in Krishna consciousness, we always say, you know, after this life we go back to Godhead. But where exactly do we go back to Godhead? So that's an important thing to understand and consider, because back to Godhead is a very big place. So, yeah, so there's Krishna Lila, there's Gaura Lila, there's a section of Ayodhya, section of Dwarka, and there's a section of Mathura. So where do you want to go? That's what you have to find out before you go. Like, you're not going to go to some city or some country without having any information what you're going to do there, or what, you know. Like, for example, if you don't speak Chinese and you just decide that, yeah, I'm going to go to China and I'm going to go for an extended time for like 5 years, but you don't know Chinese, you don't have any Chinese friends, and then when you get there, it's all Chinese. You don't understand Chinese, and you don't know how to speak Chinese, and you don't know the culture, you don't know the psychology. So what does it mean to go back to Godhead? So we have our homework to do. You can do your homework, or you can be a college dropout, and or a high school dropout, and you can get a job, but it won't be something that you can practically. And on the other hand, if you plan for the future, then it can be more pragmatic and understandable. Whereas if you go somewhere where you don't understand the language, you don't understand the culture, you don't understand the psychology, then it'll be very confusing. And not only is Goloka Vrindavan a very big place, but if you don't plan to go to any specific place, you might go to Vaikuntha, you might go to the Brahman or the Tathastha region. It's all good, but we're always talking about going back to Godhead, so we have to try to figure out before we leave, plan ahead, so in the same way, if we plan ahead to go to Vrindavan or Mayapur or Jagannath Puri, then things will be a little more relaxed. If you've never been to a country and you don't understand what their culture is or anything, then when you get there, then you can very easily very easily get culture shock. Sometimes devotees, they go to India and they are thinking, oh, it's the spiritual world and everything is peaceful and there's no noise pollution. It's transcendental noise pollution. But you might not be ready for it, and so then, because you didn't do your homework, and something like that. And always, also, if you plan to go, it's much more peaceful and safe if you go with other devotees, one or two other devotees or five devotees. When I went to India the first time, we were a group of 20 devotees or something like that. So I didn't have to think about, you know, the language or the culture or the psychology or anything very much, you know, because we were in a whole big group. But better if you do your homework, because it's always good. Knowledge is always good. So if you have some prior knowledge about something, then that's to your advantage. Like, for example, if you go to India and you're not expecting the transcendental sound vibration, the transcendental noise pollution, then it's I very humbly suggest that you take some earplugs. Actually, you can get earplugs in Vrindavan also, but because you'll be arriving at the airport, and then from the airport in the city, it'll be very noisy also. So you can, if you buy them here. Although here they're more expensive, but you can get one pair here for, and then, and when you get to Vrindavan, then you can buy them at the discounted price instead of paying, I don't know, 3 rupees, 3 euros. Then you'll only pay like 50 cents or something like that, or 1 euro. So, yeah, Vrindavan is our bhajan. Srila Prabhupada says, Vrindavan is our bhajan. Bhajan means our meditation. And so, kirtan is our bhajan. The whole purpose of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is Harinam Sankirtan, and to go out every day and enlighten the conditioned souls is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And just like in Gauralila, is described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that people would see Lord Chaitanya for the first time and they'd become completely transcendentally crazy, and they would go back to their village and their transcendental craziness would infect all the other people in the village, so then everyone in the village would also become transcendentally crazy. And they would all do Harinam Sankirtan, and they would like Padyatra also. They would go to from village to village, and they were so transcendentally crazy and fired up that they forgot to eat and they forgot to sleep, and not just men, but women and children, they forgot to eat. And they forgot to sleep. And they went, you know, all day, not just 3 hours, but they went all day, and then the next 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 day, and then another week, and then another week, and for a month, and then another month, and another month, 3 months. Without eating and sleeping, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But don't imitate. It shouldn't be artificial. So, but it's good to do kirtan more and more. Ayendra Prabhu, he was always hoping that more and more devotees would do more and more kirtan, and so therefore, thanks to him, now there's so many 6-hour kirtans, 24-hour kirtans, 3-hour kirtans all over the world. And also in Mayapur, in the Prabhupada Lilamrita, written by His Holiness Satsvarup Maharaj, and also in the Transcendental Diary by His Grace Hari Sori Prabhu, Prabhupada has instructed and given the order for the temple of the Vedic Planetarium to have 500 devotees doing 24-hour kirtan. Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Harinam Sankirtan Ki. That means every 3-hour shift, there is approximately 60 plus devotees doing 24-hour kirtan. So 24/7, 365 days a year. So here, you should also do 24-hour kirtan. And even you can do 24-hour kirtan. I mean, you can do the every day when you go out, you do the 3 hours padyatra, and then simultaneously you can have a 24-hour kirtan in the temple for the pleasure of Shishi Panchatattva without any manpower. How? You have a sound system, and you just turn it on, and you don't turn it off. You can turn the volume down at nighttime. But if you do that, you'll be amazed that the deities, they will be so happy if they can hear. There's a letter by Srila Prabhupada saying that even if there's 24-hour kirtan during the night, when the deities are sleeping, Srila Prabhupada says, then it's not a problem. The deities will not mind. Of course, you don't have to have it on full blast. You can, you know, turn it down, you know, if they might want to take a power nap, you know, like, so you just turn the volume down. Very simple. But if you keep the 24-hour kirtan sound system in the temple room, then it's very, very nice, not just for the deities, not just for the devotees in the temple. Because when sometimes you go to some temple and all the devotees are out on Sankirtan, there's only the cook or the pujari, and nobody knows where they are. And some guest will come, and somebody will open the door, and then they'll disappear, and then the guest is by them himself in the temple room with the deities, and it's like a ghost town. Like there's no kirtan, there's no devotees, there's no life, and the temple is like a ghost town, some kind of a transcendental ghost town. So it's very easy. It might just, maybe it costs €1 in electricity a month. So it's not, you know, it's not impractical, it's not impossible, and it's the Yuga Dharma. So on that note, thank you very much. Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.